Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Moms Can Relate podcast, a platform for mothers to share their exciting and dynamic journey of motherhood. I am Debbie Bisoon, and I am the founder of the movement Moms Can Relate. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube. Yes, we are. Just look out for Moms Can Relate and follow that page for all the information. Thank you all so much for joining us for another week of information, insight, and new knowledge. And no doubt this week is going to be as exciting. Exciting? Yep. We're talking about December 1 as well. That's where the excitement is going to be. December 1 at the Serengeti Hope Zoo for moms and mimosas. Have you gotten your ticket yet? Well, if you haven't, head on over to the Eventbrite page at Eventbrite and search moms and mimosas. You can get your tickets online, or you can visit the Hope Zoo, you can visit Blow by Blow, you can visit the Etel store on Phoenix Avenue. It's also available at Glow Skincare, so that's 8 Hillcrest Avenue, and you can get your tickets at those locations starting tomorrow, Monday. All right, so get your tickets, get your mom squad, get some friends, and come on. It's gonna be an exciting evening of wonderful activities. Trust me, and there's a lot of things to take home with you. So this week, I have a guest with me. She is just an exceptional person because she has taken on this mission and has done great things with it. She's not a mommy yet, but she has been a voice, an advocate for this area that affects us all, especially our mothers. In fact, we couldn't be mothers without having this part of our lives happen to us every single month. I'm talking about our monthly cycle. And she's now been known and called the period lady, Dr. Sexy Ann, aka Shelly Ann Weeks. That's her right name, but everybody calls her Dr. Sexy Ann. And she stopped by with us to talk to us about menstruation and menstrual health and just how we perceive and how we view menstruation. And she's here to talk to us about how to have the conversation with our daughters about this new change in their bodies when they first start seeing their period. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast. I have a very special guest this week. She has been doing a lot of work. In fact, she has really transformed the way in which we view period, menstruation, or flow with her flow. And I'm talking about, well, if I say her flow, you know who I'm talking about, right? Shelly Ann Weeks is here. Hi, Shells.
Hey.
Shelly-Ann, really?
yesterday somebody called me the period lady. I said, I'll take it.
Yeah, the period lady.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, moms can relate to period before, of course.
Yes, well, if you don't have a period, you can't be a mom.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Right? Because it means that you don't have the eggs coming up. Yep. So, yeah, you need healthy eggs.
Your system isn't functioning.
Exactly.
You have to definitely have that checked out.
And so we love our period.
So we love our periods. And FYI, we've been sentenced to difficult, painful periods. We don't have to live with painful periods.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of mothers, well, for me, I can talk about the fact that I had really painful periods, and then post-sci, I don't have the kind of pains I used to have before. Mm-hmm. And my gynecologist had said to me that, you know, once I had a baby, it would change in terms of the fact that my cycles wouldn't be as long, and as well, it wouldn't be as painful. So.
And has a lot to do with your hormone balancing as well, because having a child, I mean, people really underestimate the metamorphosis that the body goes through when you become pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why we have such heavy, difficult periods is because our hormones are out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that childbirth does is that it helps us to balance out a lot of our hormones, especially estrogen, progesterone. That balance is a very strange balance, because if we have more estrogen in our system than progesterone, then we develop a lot of the problems that has become so common that we have accepted them as part of being women.
Right.
And pain is not a part of being woman. We need to stop. We need that's something that we have to unlearn. I had to unlearn that, because I spent most of my adult life in pain because of menstruation issues and just female reproductive health issues overall. And what I've learned through changing my life, changing my lifestyle, is that pain-free is possible.
Right. You have a book called How I Changed My Diet and Changed My Life, and I think you credit that with what has happened with your fibroids disappearing.
Yes.
And also your period, the pain and all of that going. In terms of your findings, in addition to the hormone imbalance and or diet, are those like the two major contributions to us having painful periods?
It's two major contributions, yes. But it also has to do with culture. There's a lot of cultural influences with the way we deal with our periods.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects how we feel and how we have to, you know, just regulate through the entire pain and all the things that we have to do to adjust. For example, one of the things that we automatically do when we feel bad, we turn to ice cream. or cake or some sort of comfort.
So you're saying
food.
That, so hold on, let me get this right. You're saying that ice cream or comfort food is not what we're supposed to be turning to?
Actually, it's making matter worse.
Why? The dairy?
Dairy, yes. Dairy spikes your estrogen. And if you're adding more estrogen, you're adding more discomfort, you're adding more pain, you're adding longer periods, your flow is now going to be heavier. I mean, the ice cream feels really good going down, but the result is more period, more painful period, more discomfort.
Is that happening across all females? Like, is dairy just a factor with every female in terms of how the reaction?
All right, so think about it. Milk comes from pregnant cows.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pregnant, you're producing more estrogen than you normally do, because that's just a part of the process that you need to develop the baby. So if we're ingesting pregnant cow fluid, mm-hmm. which is what milk is, we are actually adding estrogen to our bodies.
Mm.
So now our regular estrogen levels are where they are. Now when we add dairy to it, it spikes.
Oh wow.
So now we have to adjust. Now our bodies have to say, okay, all right. So now we liver have to come into place and say, all right, so here we know. Now we have some more of this thing we have to deal with. And then it shoots it over to the endocrine gland, which is that is what produces our hormones. Now we have more hormones shooting up in our bodies, and then our bodies have to respond to that in some way. Now one of the things that I tell people, that you don't have to completely get off dairy, even though I don't care if you do. But especially during the week of your period, you have to be mindful of what you're adding to your body,
mm-hmm.
because that makes a difference with our discomfort. One of the things that we don't even understand is some of the discomfort that we're feeling is not just period cramps,
yeah.
is nutrition deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, a lot of us are anemic.
Yeah.
Right? And what are symptoms of anemia? You feel sluggish. You have the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You want sleep. You can't focus. And if we just add some extra iron to our diet while we're on our period, we immediately get rid of those symptoms. But we associate all of it with period.
This is so interesting, because I'm having like a Oprah color aha moment, because I had anemia growing up. And I was very skinny, and of course, you know, I start with bad eating, so mm-hmm. of course I blew up. But I don't think, even with my last, when I was pregnant with Sai, I wasn't totally rid of anemia, or had my body recovered completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, as part of what was happening with me with the postpartum anxiety, was the fact that I was not feeding my body well, nor mm-hmm. was I taking the required supplements as well to get over
your nutrition.
Exactly. And I'm giving off energy, milk, all of these things without feeding back my body.
Yeah.
And so it started taking a toll on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because remember that when we don't fuel our body properly, it has to adjust, you know.
Yeah.
And our body is so awesomely made that it does what it can with what we give it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in doing that, things come up, it manifests itself in different ways. Sometimes you have some rash on your skin and you can't even explain why. That's just your body's way of trying to deal with something that you're not giving it.
Yeah.
Right? We're feeling some pain and we don't know why. Same thing. Your body just trying to adjust. Your body trying to help us know, hey, what happened? Give me a little calcium now, please.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, long time when I get a little iron, me need a little zinc, me need a little magnesium.
Right.
Think about it this way. We need 13 essential vitamins and minerals to function every day. If you think about our diet that we have now, the fast food, processed food, heavy sugar diet that we have now, we barely get 2-3
I don't think
nutrients.
We get any nutrients. I can't tell you what I eat per day. I give my body the required amount of nutrients.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you have is, once upon a time, we think about malnutrition as something, or you see the
picking them manga
dung, picking
right.
them in Africa with the one fly, we pitch mm-hmm. by a lip and never move, no matter where them do the fly in our bunch. But now what malnutrition looks like is belly full, but there's no nutrition, there's no nutrients. There's your body, so your body knows that, okay, it's giving you the signal that, hey, you're hungry. So now you're eating, it's expecting you to put some iron and some zinc and some phosphorus and some vitamin B and some folic acid, and it just like gets starch and protein.
Yeah, and then especially for mothers who, after birth, you've lost blood, you're mm-hmm. now you're not giving nutrients to a baby. A baby's sucking
that
from you.
That is when you need to be nutrifying your body. Because, no, it's not just about you. It's two of you. And then, you're fueling two people now.
And then by the 6th week, depending on what your procedure was in terms of your birthing experience, now you're back on your period, the normal cycle. Mm-hmm. So your body basically kick again into giving out more fluid and all these things that is leaving your body.
Something as simple as hydration, we don't consider at all when we're on our periods. And think about it. You're losing liquid.
Yeah. So how much water should we, the normal eight?
If it, whatever you normally drink, double it when you're on your period.
Really?
Because you're losing liquid now. So remember, we live in a tropical climate. So our liquid loss is not just urine. We have to deal with sweat. Right? We deal with sneeze. And if the mist come out, you have tears. And we like, I don't know about you, but my body sweats.
Yeah.
Like you might not see the sweat in my
face. Oh yeah, and it's coming from my body. So me really sweat a while ago.
There you go. So my body is sweating and you're losing that liquid and we're not replenishing it. And then most of us throughout the day we're drinking sweet drinks.
That's
and we're
true.
Not getting much from that in the way of hydration because your body has to filter out the sugar and the sodium and whatever other preservatives they add to the sweet drinks and whatever. So the most thing we can do to help ourselves on our period is to drink more water.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that. Drink some more water during your period.
Yeah.
Because some of the symptoms that we're feeling is dehydration, you know.
It is.
You have some people that get headaches only when they're on their period.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a symptom of dehydration.
Headache. Blackout, dizziness. Yeah.
Hydrate your body.
That's very true. So, all right. So, one of the conversations that has recently come up is parenting a daughter, especially, who has now just, you know, seeing her period and having that conversation. And I think a lot of Jamaican women, the first thing when we're having the conversation about period with our daughters, I can talk about myself as well, is, oh, you know, say you can get pregnant,
you can
now,
get
right?
Pregnant, yeah.
So that's a starter of the conversation. And I remember, you know, the conversation not going into things like, okay, so, you know, you're probably going to mess up your clothes and, you know, you're going to have these excruciating pains. And I remember crying for days. I remember blocking up myself and taking pills, a lot of pills just to numb the pain.
Yeah.
And I mean, God bless my mommy, but I don't think she had a really bad period as well. She used to hemorrhage.
Yeah.
And it was just trying to figure out how to manage all of that. How are we to have the conversation with our daughters about period?
First of all, don't wait until when our period starts. I think that's the biggest mistake we make. After our period starts, we're trying to catch up. This conversation should start with her in the bathroom, and as long as she's old enough to understand. And trust me, right now that can be very early because kids nowadays are very smart.
Yeah.
They're not fool like we did fool. So you can explain to them about their bodies and they will understand. So I'm saying, I wouldn't even start later than 7.
Mm-hmm.
You have 8-year-olds who are having their periods right now.
Are you serious?
Yes, I've met a few of them while I was on my school tour. So you have 8-year-olds who have started their periods. And a lot of them, when they start their periods, they are not with their parents. There's no adult around.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them think they're dying. I actually asked them that question. Tell me how you felt when your period just started. Miss, I thought I was dying.
Wow.
So the fact that they are ill-prepared means that when it actually starts, some of them don't even know what it is.
Exactly.
So you have to start the conversation before.
I'm a young baby girl, and I'm seeing blood leaving my body.
Yes.
And I don't know what this is. And I haven't had a conversation. I may overhear the adult women talk about it, but no, it's happening to me.
Yes.
And there's nobody to kind of put it in context. And it may be in a very public space.
This is the case for a lot of girls. They probably are at school at lunch and then all of a sudden them feel kind of weird. When they stand up, the whole of the back of them clothes mess up. Everybody start pointing and laugh.
Yeah.
So on top of the fact that their body is doing weird things that they didn't even know that their body could do, now they're doing it publicly in the middle of being ridiculed.
Right.
So now that's layers of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that them have the body to deal with,
mm-hmm.
now them have to deal with the mental space of dealing with whatever them body's going on with, and them also have to deal with now what is happening with the rest of them schoolmates experiencing this with them and laughing at them while they're doing it.
Yeah.
And then they have to go to an adult, which is usually a teacher, a guidance counselor or something, and explain to them what just happened. And then that's another set of things, because it depends on the guidance counselor too, because some of the times we have our own biases as adults and we explain things to kids based on our own personal beliefs, and that may or may not be helpful, especially in a situation where right now she's traumatic. Most of the guidance counselors who I talk to, they're like, look here, them just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Them don't want to go back to class.
Yeah.
They think something is wrong with
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so now anything that's going on where education is concerned is second in her mind. So in the mind of this 7-year-old, this 8-year-old, this 9-year-old, even 15-year-old, if this is how you experience something like this for the first time, then the way you think about it is obviously going to be very traumatic and very negative.
Yeah.
Versus, we prepare her. She has her pouch in her bag. She has her products. She knows what to expect. She knows when she feels a little weird. So before she sit down in it and mess up the whole of her clothes, she get the weird feeling and she go check. Because right. she's aware that this thing might happen and she know what to look for and what to expect. It's a very different experience.
Yeah.
So we cannot wait until the period start and then we're going to try to say, all right, so this is what it is. And then we start to terrify them and let them know, say, if them breed, what are you going to do with them? And then, no, you can't allow boys to touch them. I actually met this one lady who told me that her mother said that she cannot be within 3 feet of a boy because she will get pregnant when she had her period.
Wow.
And so she said for a good 4 or 5 years, she freed her boys every time a boy come towards her, she run.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have to be mindful of what we say to children about their periods, and even beyond that. It's not just this one conversation, it's a continuous conversation.
Right.
So she should also know that she can come to you if she have any questions, because what if this happened? What if her body does something else she don't understand? What if? So the conversation has to be able to continue.
Exactly, because I remember seeing, when I was in high school, seeing females block out, as in literally faint away because of the pain and all of those things.
And sometimes the amount of blood that they're losing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that can cause you to block out as well. And so the whole conversation, first of all, as a parent, I recommend that you educate yourself. If you don't feel like you know enough, that's solvable. Educate yourself. And at this moment, I'm taking the time to plug
I was going
to
say your book, yes. So,
yes?
No, it's not necessarily a plug, but it's a real resource.
Without shame.
It's My Body, period. And it's such a good book in terms of educating mothers, educating girls about, and fathers as well.
Of course.
Let me tell you, my father was a big part of my period journey. He was the one who went to the supermarket and bought it. And he would have called me and said, Deb, you want the one with wings or you want the one without wings? So the fathers cannot be excluded from the conversation.
Of course not.
They're usually, especially for girls, they're usually the one that you get to curl up beside daddy and daddy rub your belly and such. So
yeah, of course,
you know.
And this part of growing up is something that unfortunately girls are forced to have by themselves, and they don't have to.
Yeah.
So parents really do need to get involved with this part of their life and let them understand that not only is it natural, it is something that we can openly converse about, and it's not something to be ashamed of. And I think that is like the most important thing, because there's still a lot of shame don't understand why, because it is as natural as breathing. It is something that we have to go through, and it should not be faced with this amount of shame. I still can't get why in 2019.
Yeah, I think it's how we're cultured. You know, I think it's how we're cultured, and all the verbal innuendos and such, and even the curse words that we have, a lot of them are associated with a woman and her blood. You know, so it's a whole heap of reversing of how we've been coded, that has to happen. And I think you're doing a great job of going to the kids, because when you start from that age in a school environment where it's normalized, it's a part of your teaching, it's a part of your socialization, it's not a backdoor conversation. I'm happy you brought it to the fore. You know, so it's not a case where somebody is a little conversation we have a by the way, and I whispered it in your ears and told her this. It's something in front of guys, because you had boys putting on pads on the girls' underwear.
Let me tell you, that is very controversial. As simple as it seems, it's very controversial, because there are a lot of parents who are like, never, my son, I will never ever allow my son to touch a pad. And when I have it's always very interesting, because I always like to talk to the mothers who feel this way, and I give them opportunity to express themselves, and then I say, okay, so tell me something. What if you are in a position where you cannot help yourself, and your son is the only person there to help you, and he does not know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
How is that empowering for either him or you?
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that they don't have to personally be the ones going through something to learn about it. Nobody's having any conversation about the need for women to know about what's going on with men.
Mm-hmm.
That's assumed. We expect them to.
Exactly.
We expect women to know what's going on with men, because they're going to be mothers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no discussions about
that's
it. And
true.
Wives.
Yes.
This is an expectation.
Yeah, that's
However,
true.
whenever a man or a little boy shows an interest in woman thing, now we start to question his manhood.
Yes, yes.
Now we start to wonder if something wrong with him. That thought process is problematic. And how I get through to the boys, I ask them, tell me about the women in your life who you love. And most of them are able to tell me a story of one time when they're with their mother or their sister or somebody, and like them clothes mess up and them just see them disappear and them come back.
Mm-hmm.
Or them look like them in pain and them are crying and them don't know how them can help them, and nobody's opening up to them. And it does not make sense. We live in space with men, so why is it that we are hiding this very integral part of who we are from them?
Yeah, can't be. It cannot work, because we include the men on other things. When we're off our period, my God, like we're at their beck and call. So why is it that when we have our period, no, they can't be there with us still?
It helps for them to understand.
Because
part of the thing that I think is very problematic is when you look in our workplace environment, for example, and a woman has to call in sick. And when she calls in sick and she has to explain that it's something to do with her female reproductive health, it's met with nonchalance and indifference and, you know, then take
everybody,
two pills.
Everybody
like,
have period.
So everybody what? Have period. What's the problem?
Yeah.
But if she had asthma,
mm-hmm.
it would be compassion.
Mm-hmm.
If she had fungus toe,
mm-hmm.
it would be compassion. If she had migraines,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, I know how that feel. I'm so sorry.
Get some rest.
Work from home today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no problem. But when it's period, oh, it is met with a lot of hostility.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 100% culture.
Yeah, that's very true. Because I remember when I, before Sai and I had my period, I really had to take the first day off. Because mm-hmm. I knew I was of no use to anybody at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was not of use to anybody at all. Because it was so excruciating. And again, you tend to resort to medication.
Yes.
Yeah.
And women feel guilty. So you're already in pain, your body already a fight against you, and on top of that now, you're going to put guilt because you cannot be at work, and you cannot function because of what is happening with your body right now. And then you start to blame yourself because you feel that it's something that you did, why this curse is upon you. And there's a whole layer of other emotions that comes with that. And it's just plain unfair, because let us face it, when it comes to illness, we are a lot more compassionate with everything else but period.
That's very true.
And I don't care. I mean, I remember I was having a conversation online just recently because I did a post about this very thing. And this lady said, well, she work in an office and she teach children that when them leave school, that whenever them going to look work, whatever is going on with them period, find some way for deal with it, because them can't expect for other people them work with them period problems. I said, okay, what else do you treat like that?
Mm-hmm.
What if the person have a heart condition and you know, say, them can't be in the office where there's too much noise? You know what them do? Everybody talks off.
Yeah, that's true.
I used to work with this girl who have asthma, and I'm telling you, say, if you wear a strong perfume or asthma attacker, mm-hmm. and everybody tell you, then you get, when you just start work there, them tell you, you know, this girl have asthma, yeah, so you have to be mindful.
Big consideration.
So there is consideration, but when it comes to period, fix it and go to work.
Yes,
we don't have any
true.
Time for you and your period problems.
So the book, it's My Body Period, and also How I Changed My Diet and Changed My Life, is available at the bookstores. Yeah.
Yes, they're in where fine books are sold.
Yeah, where fine books are sold. That's good.
Yes.
And as you finish up your school tour, what else do you have coming up?
Okay, well, for the rest of the year, I'm going to be hosting period parties, so definitely look out for that. I'm actually going to announce the dates and the venue and everything by next week. I'm just finalizing some plans behind the scenes. So we're going to be having period parties, and one of the reasons why I'm doing that is I want to empower parents to have conversations with their children about periods.
Yeah.
And I say children because that includes boys as well.
It does.
And I'm going to be at Collection Moda this weekend. And then I'm going to be doing Jamaican Merry Christmas. So we're going to be there with the books and all of that. And we're going to make sure that they're available, because I think it's a great gift for Christmas. Actually, this one lady called me and she's like, look here, every little girl in my life getting one of these books for them Christmas present. I don't care what them said.
That's right.
So, I like her attitude.
That's right.
So, you know, we're going to be available. And, you know, I'm on social media a lot, Dr. Sexy and everywhere. So just follow me.
And her flow is exactly there as well.
And her flow. We still have the period poverty and the end period poverty campaign going on. And we're encouraging persons to buy a pack of menstrual products and drop them off at various locations: JMB branches, Kingston Bookshop branches, Peckerwood Jerk, Golden Closet, Buzzers in Portmore.
Nice.
And you can just always just link me by via the DM, and we can arrange to pick up stuff from individuals as well.
Amazing, amazing. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Shells.
Oh my gosh, I'm on Moms Can Relate, and I'm
yes,
not a mom. Look at that.
Because listen, period is everybody's business. Moms, aspiring moms, and trust me, it
honorary moms.
Honorary moms. It is a conversation that needs to be had, and especially in how we educate our girls or young ladies, it has to happen.
So,
thank you very much. All right, guys, thank you for listening to another Moms Can Relate podcast. Make sure that you subscribe online and also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And remember, Moms and Mimosas on December 1 at the Serengeti. Get your tickets on Eventbrite. We also have physical tickets available. So DM us on our Instagram page or Facebook page, or email us at momscanrelate@gmail.com for more information. All right. Thank you.